Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, text number 4. The Gopis search for Krishna. Gayantya Uchair Amum Eva Samhata Vichikyur Unmataka Vad Vanad Vanam Praplakshur Akasha Vad Antaram Bahir Bhuteshu Santam Purusham Vinaspatim. Gayantya uchair amum eva sammatha. Vichikyur unmattaka vadvanadvanam. Praprachur akasha vadantaram bahir. Bhuteshu santam purusham vanaspatim. Gayantya uchair amum eva sammata. Vichikyur unmattaka vadvanadvanam. Praplachur akasha vadantaram bahir. Bhuteshu santam purusham vinaspatim. Gayantya uchair amum eva sammata. Vichikyur unmattaka vadvanadvanam. Praplachur akasha vadantaram bahir. Bhuteshu santam purusham vanaspatim.
Thank you.
word meanings, otherwise known as the gloss. Gayantya, singing. Uchai, loudly. Amum, about him. Eva, indeed. Sangata, together in a group. Vichikyu, they searched. Unmatakavat, like mad women. Vanat, vanam, from one area of the forest to another. Praprachu, they inquired. Akashavat, like the sky. Antaram, internally. Bahi, and externally. Bhuteshu, in all created beings. Santam, present. Purusham, the Supreme Person. Vanaspatim, from the trees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Singing loudly of Krishna, they searched for him throughout the Vrindavan forest like a band of madwomen. They even asked the trees about him, who as the Supersoul is present inside and outside of all created things, just like the sky. Please repeat, singing loudly of Krishna. They searched for him throughout the Vrindavan forest like a band of mad women. They even asked the trees about him, who as the Supersoul is present inside and outside of all created things, just like the sky. It's interesting that the translation is all created things. And at first they say, well, things, you know, seems kind of impersonal, but then you realize that actually the creation is actually matter. This spirit is not created, so it's quite correct. Purport. Lost in the madness of love for Krishna, the gopis inquired about him from even the trees in Vrindavan. Of course, there is no actual separation from Lord Krishna, since he is the all-pervading Supersoul. That's the whole purport. Om jnanati miranda sya jnanjana shalakaya chakshu militam yena tajmai shri gurve namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. So, I'm back again. I won't be again tomorrow. Don't get scared. Just Sunday, I get my last chance to speak at the Sunday program, Sunday afternoon, evening. And again, there's a Spanish program, program in Spanish for those who prefer that language. And the sanctuary, and if you don't know where the sanctuary is, most devotees know where it is. It's very close by, 441. It's at about 7:15 on Saturday evening. Yes, I guess it conflicts with the seminar about material resources for spiritual people or something.
Oh,
Seminars in the morning. Oh, very good. So you can go to both things if you like, especially those of you who speak Spanish. So today it seems very similar to yesterday, that the purport is really, really short, and the subject matter is somewhat or quite esoteric, and the speaker is decidedly, how would you say, not qualified to speak so much about the esoteric aspect. But there is a difference in that today there's a mention of Supersoul. So I'll mention some points about Supercell in general, but that wouldn't be fair. For instance, we can have a whole class just on chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita and just focus on the glories of the Supersoul and the distinction, for instance, in text 3 of the living entity in the Super. So we can get into the whole tattva about Paramatma. And you could, you know, even with my poor fund of knowledge, we can have a class on that. But that wouldn't be very fair. It wouldn't do justice to the verse and the purport. Because although Supersoul is mentioned, it's mentioned specifically in relationship to this situation with the gopis. And then questions come up. So what I did was I did the kind of search in the Veda base which would bring in both gopis and Supersoul. And it was very productive. It actually yielded some, I mean, that's a good thing about giving classes. Sometimes they say it's the best kind of study you could do is prepare for a class, because you tend to learn things as you do a little research. Of course, nowadays with the Veda base, I won't say it's a piece of cake, but it's you know, 100 times easier than it was when, if you had to go through all the indexes, you wouldn't even know where to look. So, although in the new new Chaitanya Charitamrita, the big, beautiful book, all in one volume, they put the whole index of all the leelas, all in one alphabetical order at the end. It's a very, very long index and glossary also, so that's a very great resource. But still, the Veda base is a way to go, you might say. So we'll talk a little about that. Different from yesterday's class, which was, I was like making a very wide circle around the subject matter and trying to kind of look towards the subject matter. Today will be different in that because it deals with something more tangible for the likes of me, something like Supersoul, although I haven't seen, I realized so much. But still, it's something to be, and it was easy to find some references to it. Then today we'll find ourselves dealing more pointedly with the actual subject matter. Okay. So, but before we do that, it wouldn't be right also to miss one topic that comes up, in that it says that they're singing loudly of Krishna. The gopis are singing loudly of Krishna. And sometimes you might say, well, you know, the gopis, they're like the uttama adhikaris. I mean, they wouldn't preach, right? I mean, but actually, the gopis, even in their madness of love, they're giving the best preaching. And we should want to hear, who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? And we say we should hear from qualified devotees. So who's more qualified than the gopis? And you might say, well, here we're just hearing that they're singing loudly, but we don't know what they're singing. But then in the next chapter, is it? The Gopi Gita comes in when they're still in the madness of separation, but they're singing the glories of the Lord, and then you can specifically hear what they're actually singing. This thing about the trees, that they even asked the trees about him. Of course, soon we'll hear Srimati Radharani asking the bumblebee, and that's a whole other Gita. The Gopi Gita, the Brahma Gita, and the Venu Gita, there's different Gitas. Of course, there's also the Uddhava Gita, but that's in a different mood. Although Krishna did entrust Uddhava to meet with the gopis on his behalf. So we need to, it's called Yasha Kali Malapaham. The hearing of Krishna Katha is the very instrument, the Kali Malapaham. Kali Malapaham, it destroys the vices of Kali. So the gopis, they're singing, whether they're conscious of it or not, but they're singing, they're chanting the glories of the Lord. There's another verse that talks about how the three worlds are purified. That's Vasudeva Kata Prashna Punati Tri Punatihi, what is it? Then it's Shrotram Prachtakam Shrotrims, Bhaktaram Prachtakam Shrotims, Tat Salile Yata, something. The questions about Vasudeva or Vishnu, they purify the three worlds. Just as the Ganges purifies the three planetary systems, so when we ask questions about Vasudeva, three types of people are purified and elevated. Obviously the person who's asking the question, the one who's answering it, is, and all the others who are listening, even if they're listening on the radio or in streaming mode, whatever. So then the gopis, they're glorified in the 47th chapter, much later on. Vande nanda vraja srinam padarenuma bhikshnasaha yasham hari kathod gitam punati bhuvana trayam. Here is another activity, another type of chanting, vibration, which purifies the three worlds, perhaps even more potently, is the gopis loudly chanting. We're hearing here that they are singing very loudly. So the gopis are loudly chanting the glories of Sri Krishna. And I don't have the reference. Is this Uddhava speaking? Says, I offer my respects to the dust from the feet of the women of Nanda Maharaj's cowherd village. When these gopis loudly chant the glories of Sri Krishna, the vibration purifies the three worlds, Punati Bhuvana Trayam. So it's very worthwhile to hear the glories of the Lord. If one develops faith, and of course then one will follow through and act on that faith, of hearing Krishna Katam, then that exempts one from having to follow all the injunctions of the Vedas. It's only when one's faith develops, this is described in the 11th canto, that one is relieved of the requirement for following, being accountable for all the negligence, which is inevitable in Kali Yuga. Plus the fact that in Kali Yuga, this hearing, Srimad Bhagavatam, is the very agency, the very medium for deliverance. So now we'll talk a little about Super Soul. All right, so I divided these references in two different categories. And it's not completely, they're not completely distinct. There's the tattva and rasa. Then a question comes up. This is sort of like, I call it a meta discussion, and it's a discussion about how we discuss, how we deal with our shastra, our shastras, our scriptures. So then it comes up, we have sambandha, avideya, and prayojana. You all know that. So then, sambandha actually means relationship. But yet when we usually think of sambandha, we think of the basic philosophy, the underlying philosophy, upon which we act in an appropriate way to realize the goal of prayojana. The acting, of course, is avideya and then prayojana. So why is, so it sounds like, well, relationship, that's rasa, isn't it? So what is the difference? If you allow me to suggest that relationship is there, it's a relationship, especially the relationship of the living entity with Krishna, but it's more the objective description of what the general reality is, that we're eternal servants of Krishna. That's where it all goes to, basic philosophy. Whereas when we get to rasa, based on the tattva of sambandha jnana, the understanding of the relationship, then it's the emotions come in. Then it's how the feelings ensue from the actual enactment of carrying out and realizing the interactions based on the tattva of what objectively our eternal relationship is with Krishna. Of course, then it gets more specific and you have specific rasas, neutrality. Of course, then it really gets going with servitorship and friendship and parental rasa, and finally what we're hearing about in these verses, madhurya rasa. So first, references to more tattva. Most of them will relate the paramatma with the actual pastimes of the gopis. There aren't too many, but I think it'll be just about the right time span or time allotment. Of course, the first of a few very general ones about paramatma was someone quoted, it might have been Prana Govinda the other day, Dva supana sayuja sakaya samanam vriksham parishashva jate tayoranyak pipalam svadhyati anashtamanyo vichakashiti. The Lord and the living entity are compared to two birds sitting in a tree. While the illusioned living entity eats the fruits of the material world, the Lord is supersoul and best friend, witnesses these activities. Amazing situation. That kind of sums up a lot, just that one verse. And one much, much less quoted verse is by Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto. I'll just read the English. O my friends, sons of the Asuras, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his super soul feature always exists within the cores of the hearts of all living entities. Indeed, he is the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, and there is no difficulty in worshiping the Lord. Why then should people not engage in his devotional service? Why are they addicted to manufacturing artificial paraphernalia for sense gratification? If we had time, we can have a discussion. It's a rhetorical question, but we can have a discussion trying to answer Prahlad Maharaj's question. I would just say, because they're in the wrong paradigm of sense gratification. All right. So, on this topic of paramatma, we can go on. One important point is that a verse in Bhagavad Gita, which is not quoted very often, but it's relevant to this discussion, is the 31st verse of the 6th chapter, where it says, such a yogi who engages in the worshipful service of the Supersoul, knowing that I and the Supersoul are one, he means always in me in all circumstances. And this point always comes up. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, they're one, they're non-dual. But they're very different attitudes and emotions and results ensue from becoming attached to the respective levels. Obviously, one gets a better result being attached, becoming a theist, believing in and actually realizing that the absolute truth and the ultimate issue is person. Brahmanohi pratistaham, she says, the impersonal Brahman rests upon me as well as the Supersoul. That's I, Krishna says, and the hearts of everyone is a Supersoul. We heard that verse this morning, Krishna Keshava Guru, you read it. Sarvasya Chaham Vidhi Sanivishto Mataksmiti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. That Krishna is a Supersoul. He's giving remembrance and knowledge, forgetfulness, etc. I mentioned chapter 13, which we wouldn't have time, and it wouldn't be appropriate. It would be like going out on a limb if we just went way into that. But again, this idea that there's a distinction between the living entity and the Supreme Lord, the Supersoul, is in the third verse. Kshetradyam chapimam vidhi sarvakshetesu bharata Kshetrak Kshetrakya Yogyanam Yataj Gyanam Matam Maman. I didn't write down the English here. I guess you're supposed to know the English also, aren't you? Keshva, you have the Bhagavad Gita right at your fingertips? 13.3. You can just loudly yell out. Oh, you don't have it? All right. Well, anyway, basically that verse describes that I am also the knower of all the fields of activities, different from the living entity, who just knows his own field of activities. Kshetra ya chapi mam vidi sarva kshetreshu. He's in all the kshetras. He's the super soul is everywhere. And to know the distinction, that is knowledge. So, more on the tattva of Paramatma, but now getting more closer to home in what we're hearing in these verses, relating it, well, very soon, you'll see, we'll start relating it to the Gopi Lila that we're hearing. This is from teachings of Lord Chaitanya, as quoted in the Sri Namamrita. There are different names for the Supreme Lord, and these names have different purposes and meanings. For instance, he is known as Paramatma, the Supersoul, Brahman, the Supreme Absolute, Srishtikarta, the Creator, Narayana, the Transcendental Lord, Rukmini Ramana, the husband of Rukmini, Gopinath, the enjoyer of the gopis, and Krishna. In this way, the Lord has different names, and these names indicate different functions. Now from Srimad Bhagavatam, in the ninth chapter of the first canto, text 42, Krishna is both Brahmajyoti and localized Paramatma, but in Brahmajyoti or Paramatma, there is no Krishna or sweet relations with Krishna. In his personal feature, Krishna is both Parthasarathi and Samashundara of Vrindavan, but is in his impersonal feature, he is neither in the Brahmajyoti nor in the Paramatma. In other words, Krishna is not personally available within the realization only of Brahmajyoti or even of Paramatma. So we're getting warmer in the sense that starting to hear about some taste of realizing the personality of Godhead as opposed to his localized or impersonal expansion. Okay, this is the last one before we get more specifically connected with today's verse in short purport. This is, now we go to a class where Srila Prabhupada was lecturing on Bhagavad Gita 4.11. Yetamam prapadyante tamstatayva bhajami aham mamavartmanuvartante manusya parthasavishaha. This was in 1974 in Bombay. So actually, either you try to realize impersonal Brahman or by yogic process, the localized Paramatma, or directly you want to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are all the same. All the same. But this differentiation is due to my angle of vision. Excuse me. Therefore, Krishna says, Yetamam prapadyante tamsatayva bhajami aham. If you want to realize only the Brahman effulgence, all right, you can do that. Or if you want to realize Paramatma by yogic principle, by meditation, all right. Krishna says it is also all right. And if you want to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly and in direct contact with him, directly playing with him as a cowherd boy, directly dancing with him like the gopis, directly treating him as your son like your Yashoda Mata, you can do also. Krishna is open to everyone, and you can approach Krishna in any capacity as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it is up to you to relish which one is relishable for you. That is up to you. But Krishna is prepared to accept you in any way you like. Next, we're getting closer now to today's content. From when we go to Krishna book, chapter 47. Uddhava's messages and instructions saved the gopis from immediate death. I have a question. Is the Krishna book, chapters in Krishna book, I think they directly correspond to the chapters in Bhagavatam? Does anyone know? It's easy to check. Okay, we'll check. I think they do, because this is chapter 47, and that would be like chapter... Seems like they do. No? Okay. Uddhava's messages and instructions saved the gopis from immediate death, and the gopis acknowledged the benediction from Uddhava. Now, this reference takes more thought. We're going a little deeper now, and we're getting more closer to the philosophy that's being implied in the verse. And that question that comes up, we can ask this question, what's the last sentence in the two-sentence purport? It says, of course there is no actual separation from Lord Krishna, since he is the all-pervading Supersoul. Now, tell that to the gopis. Why don't they take advantage of that? Why don't they say, wait a second, what are we worried about? Krishna is Supersoul, he's with us. Now, how do we understand this? I mean, so what we're going to be hearing most of the rest of today's class is that it's not that Supersoul doesn't get engaged in the rasa between Krishna and the gopis. That's where it gets interesting. And I think we get a little hint of it, beginning to get a hint of it here. So the gopis acknowledged the benediction from Uddhava. Uddhava practically acted as the preceptor, spiritual master of the gopis, and in return they worshipped him as they would worship Krishna. It is recommended in authoritative scriptures that the spiritual master be worshipped on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of being his very confidential servitor. And it is accepted by great authorities that the spiritual master is the external manifestation of Krishna. And in fact, we sometimes hear he's the external manifestation of Supersoul. The gopis were relieved from their transcendental burning condition by realizing that Krishna was with them. Internally, they remembered his association within their hearts, and externally, Uddhava helped them associate with Krishna by his conclusive instructions. So this is now Guru Tattva, but it's the Chaitya Guru, the Guru within the heart, as the Supersoul, as the Paramatma, and the external Guru as the spiritual master. So so Krishna appears as Chaitya Guru inside and externally as the spiritual master, who is sometimes described as the external representation of the Supersoul. So here we're getting an example of how Supersoul, the gopis benefit from Paramatma, let's put it like that. Here they're relieved of their burning condition, and they're having, and with this little touch of Guru Tattva, we're hearing how Uddhava became their spiritual master, how Prabhupada's explaining how the Supersoul, the gopis are realizing that Krishna's with us, he's in our heart. And Uddhava is also Krishna, not just that he looked just like Krishna, he certainly was, the gopis were rather astonished. This is his person, he looks just like Krishna. He even had the same color, everything. But because the spiritual master is the other aspect. So a lot of Supersoul mercy is here, even for the gopis. It kind of begins to answer that question we just posed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in the scriptures as Adhoksaja, which was the article in the latest BTG. If you want to learn more about Adhoksaja, get the latest Back to Godhead magazine. It's an article about Krishna as Adhoksaja. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in the scriptures as Adhoksaja, which indicates that he is beyond the perception of all material senses. Although beyond the material senses, He is present in everyone's heart. At the same time, he is present everywhere by his all-pervasive feature of Brahman. Now, this I underline myself. Let's try to hone in on what I'm going to read right now. One can realize all three transcendental features of the Supreme Truth, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Paramatma, the localized supersoul, and the all-pervasive Brahman, simply by studying the condition of the gopis in their meeting with Uddhava, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? So this kind of answers the question, how the gopis, can they actually get solace from Supersoul? So we can understand Supersoul as well as all aspects of the Absolute Truth by just the condition of the gopis and how their condition was relieved by their encounter, their blissful encounter with Uddhava. They came, we'll hear it in another references. Okay, now we're going to get into Jai. Now we're going to get into more Rasika references, more references to Leela as opposed to the Tattva of Supersoul. And now we get much closer to home in terms of connecting more directly with today's verse and short purport. Okay, now I'm just, for the rest of the class, because I only have very few minutes, you'll have to excuse me. Or maybe it's a blessing in disguise. I'm just going to read the references and some of my own comments. The first introductory comment for this category of references to Supersoul and the gopis is, it's introductory. It says, one may question, I already said this, but let me say it again. One may question, how do the gopis, even up to Srimati Radharani, relate to the Supersoul? And why aren't they taking advantage of the principle expressed in the last sentence of this today's brief purport? All right, here's the sentence again. It says, of course there is no actual separation from Lord Krishna because he is the all-pervading Supersoul. Okay. Or to put it another way, does the Lord's Paramatma feature ever figure or participate in the confidential loving exchanges described in these chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam? In the course of hearing the following references, which I'll have to read pretty quickly, perhaps this question will be answered, at least by our hearing a few pertinent examples. Okay, now I'm just going to read. From Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8, text 90. I'm going to read, and I'm going to read my very brief comment after. There's only two or three of these references now. Okay, and here we go. And thus the gopis worship goddess Durga, or Katyayani, but their inner desire was to get Lord Krishna as their husband. Krishna as Paramatma could realize the ardent desire of the gopis, and therefore he enjoyed the pastime of Vastra Harana. Who could tell me what is Vastra Harana? The stealing of the Vastra, of the clothing, of the gopis' clothes. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, 1648. My comment here is that, so here we find that as Krishna incarnates and intercedes in this world, in other words, in a similar way, he also allows his supersoul expansion to facilitate and enhance his intimate loving exchanges with his greatest devotees. Does that make sense? How did it happen? Because in his aspect of Supersoul, he was able to understand because he's in the heart of everyone. So he knew that's what they want. Okay, I'll give it to him. And you know how that worked. Okay, next is From Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 8, text 90. Paramatma realization of the plenary expansion of the Absolute Truth within everyone's heart, is also an incomplete understanding of the Absolute Truth. Even a devotee of the Personality of Godhead, Narayan, cannot actually understand the transcendental attractive features of Krishna. Indeed, a devotee of Krishna who is attracted to the sublime attractive features of the Lord does not consider Narayan very important. When the gopis sometimes saw Krishna in the form of Narayan, they were not very much attracted to him. The gopis never addressed Krishna as Rukmini Ramana. Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan address him as Radha Ramana, Nanda Nandana, and Yasoda Nandana, but not as Vasudev Nandana or Devaki Nandana. Okay, my little comment here. The point here is that despite the, quote, non-dual nature of the three phases of the Absolute Truth, different moods of service require to be focused on one particular aspect. In other words, depending on one's mood of service, one will focus on Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. Of course, with Brahman, there's not too much service. Just want to merge, I guess. But also, and even within the category of Bhagavan, only the primordial Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, remains important to his topmost servitors, the Vraja Gopis. So not only are the Gopis beyond interest particularly, I mean, that was pointing out how they can get some solace, but they're not really focused on super soul, what to speak of Brahman, and they're not even focused on Narayan. There's one story, don't have time to say, some of you know it, what happened when the gopis encountered Narayan. They weren't that interested. Krishna seated himself. This next, is this the last one? Okay, yeah, this is the last reference. And then it's a little longer, but we'll read it quickly. And this is from Krishna book, chapter 32, which must correspond to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, chapter 32. I'm sorry, there are two more references. The first one is short. Krishna seated himself. Krishna Keshava, is it all right if I am a little over time? Can I just finish this? Okay. Krishna seated himself beside each of the many gopis, and it may be asked herein how he did this. There is a significant word in this verse, Ishvara. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara refers to the Supreme Lord as the Super Soul seated in everyone's heart. Krishna also manifested this potency of expansion of Paramatma in this gathering with the gopis. Krishna was sitting by the side of each gopi, unseen by the others. Krishna was so kind to the gopis that instead of sitting in their hearts to be appreciated in yogic meditation, he seated himself by their sides. By seating himself outside, he showed special favor to the gopis, who were the selected beauties of all creation. Now, my little comment on this is a fine point. This is a fine point. Let us try to understand what is going on here. Of course, Krishna, as Krishna, was externally manifest. At least with Radharani. That was Krishna as Krishna. Yet his expansion was actually his super soul feature coming into play. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada draws our attention to the fact that his sitting himself at the gopis' sides rather than only within their hearts, by doing that, he was showing them, quote, special favor. Okay, last reference. Some of this is kind of deep, little, it's not so esoteric, but it's deep things. At least for me, it's deep. Okay, last reference. And among the feelings of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, Shanta, although indifferent and dormant in raga, I have to tell you where this reference is from because it's a different mood. This is from Brahma Sangita, text 56, of course, chapter 5, by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And sometimes we hear actually that some of those purports were actually written originally by the father of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But officially we say that was all his. So again, among the feelings of... Okay, I just read it. There is an immense volume of raga in the other four varieties of emotion. By the promise of Gita, yetamam kapadyate tamstatava vachamiyam, the same verse, 4:11, I serve one according to his submission. Those who allow themselves to be actuated by the sentiments of fear, anger, and delusion attain to sayujya mukti, merging in the absolute. The shantas obtain bodily forms with aptitude for addiction to Brahman and Paramatma. The Dasya and Sakya classes of worshippers attain bodily forms characterized by masculine or feminine disposition according to their respective grades of eligibility. The Vatsalya class of worshippers get bodily forms befitting fatherly and motherly sentiments. The amorous lovers of Krishna attain the pure forms of gopis, spiritual milkmaids of Raj. That's my little comment, and that's it. Yes, quote, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. In this regard, we can learn how different moods of the respective worshippers yield different revelations, even of the same Krishna. For example, when he and his elder brother entered the wrestling arena of King Kamsa, we may note in this connection that even, quote, the impious rulers saw him as a chastiser. His parents as their child, the king of the Bhojas as death, the unintelligent as the Supreme Lord's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth. That all these revelations are included in the different visions or revelations. In other words, impersonal as well as personal darshans or visions are available according to one's attitude. We may also note the example Srila Prabhupada would often give of how even the stubborn atheist is obliged to interact with the Lord, although he can only achieve his darshan of him as death. Mrityu sarva harashtaham. So on that rather grim note, we finish finally. So thank you very much for hearing me. The text once again is, singing loudly of Krishna, they searched for him throughout the Vrindavan forest like a man to bad women. They even asked the trees about him, who as the super soul is present inside and outside of all created things, just like the sky. So should we call it quits, or does someone want to say something or ask any question? No? Do you have a question? Oh, you found a verse finally. Okay, well, I paraphrased it, but you can read the exact wording so we get straight on.
Kshetragyam cha imam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata kshetra kshetragyayor jnanam yat taj jnanam matam mama.
And the translation, please.
O scion of Bharata, you should understand that I am also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That is my opinion.
Okay, that was the first, one of the first references we gave when we were in the part of the class we were just talking about Supersoul as a separate issue. But then as we went on, we gradually came closer and closer to relating it, to answering this question about the relationship between Supersoul and the Gopis and how they benefited from Supersoul in different ways and with different examples. Okay, this is a little bit, you know, complicated, but did it make sense to you, those of you who I can see you in this room? The references made sense? Were they pertinent? Do I get a little gold star? Okay, I'll take it back to Miami, show it to me. I got a gold star in Alachua, you see. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Oh, did you want to say something? No? Okay. Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Oh, Premananda.